Well, I thank the Lord for all that he means to me. I'm glad to be his child. It's wonderful to get to serve him. This is a message that's for all of us. It's not just a particular group, but it's for all of us. And yet, I don't mean it as a picking. So that's, I want to clarify that, that I do want to know, want you to know that these are words said in love. But I want to start out with a phrase. I've written up here, fail to plan, plan to fail. And I love living here in America. I love the American dream. I love reading stories of rags to riches. I love that. I love that there are people who have taken small amounts of nothing, so to speak, and have risen to great wealth and honorable places. And that's a just interesting to me. I love to read those. And I'm not going to claim that we're that place at all, but I do believe that the American dream is something that we all are fulfilling. Every one of us here have successful jobs. Every one of us here, I believe, live in houses better than what we were raised in. I know I do. And I'm thankful for those things. We all drive very nice cars, and that's a beautiful thing. And I'm thankful for it. But here's that but part. Those things can sometimes cloud our vision of eternal things. And it can be dangerous. So this is given only as a friendly warning. I don't think it's happening to us. I'm not looking at it that way. I'm just thinking, you know, the devil likes to confuse success for heaven with success here on earth. So I want to remind us that they're not interchangeable at all. So I want us to look first at what the scripture said, because there were people in those days and times that were living what we call an American dream. So I'll describe what American dream is. It's an upward mobility, the core belief that social and economic status is not fixed and that individuals can improve their standing through personal effort. The idea that hard work and determination are the primary drivers of success. And the United States is seen as a land of opportunity where anyone can succeed regardless of their background. And it's the freedom to pursue a life that is personally fulfilling and prosperous. So I don't think there's anything wrong with having that dream. I think that's a very noble thing. But others have had it before too. And it was to their detriment. So that's what I want us to look at tonight. So Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 21st verse. Sorry. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's a very sobering verse to me, because Lord, Lord means that they were familiar with the Lord. They were familiar with what they were communicating to him. But the Lord is saying, the Master is saying, not everybody is going to enter into heaven just because you're saying, Lord, Lord. Just because you've gone through all the motions, there has to be something else going on. And it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that's the saddest words you'll ever hear. Depart from me. And that's what I was thinking about. What does that mean? They were familiar with the Lord. They said they had prophesied in his name, that they'd cast out devils in his name, and they'd done many wonderful works. And the Lord saying, I don't even know who you are. That's a very dangerous place. And I'm thinking, does that happen sometimes when we just get so clouded in our own lives that we lose sight of what really is eternal
and what is the most important. So I'd like for us to look at Matthew. There's some examples here. Matthew, the 19th chapter and the 16th verse. There's a rich young ruler. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So let's just write up here a litmus test. We're going to say success, a fail. So let's start out with rich young ruler. Thou shalt, and he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now this would be a man that said, Lord, Lord, isn't it? This would be a man that said, I've been acquainted with you, I've kept all those commandments, what lack I yet? And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So in this world success, he was a success. He was in this world mindset, earth, he was a success. He had many things. He had many possessions. He was a good, upright man. He was morally stable. He was up. He just had so many things in his favor, and he was a success, a grand success. He was. It says a rich young ruler. So he was able to find wealth at a young age. He was able to find social standing at a young age because he was a ruler. It was. Success in every point, but the very thing that was heavenly, he failed. He failed at it. So if you're looking at it in the American dream part, he was a success. But on the heavenly part, he was a fail. And you know what? That was more important than anything he possessed. And the irony of it is, he didn't take any of it with him. That's a very sobering thought to me. This was actually a happening. It wasn't just a parable. The next one we'll read about was a parable, and it's in Luke, the 12th chapter, and the 16th verse. And it says, And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Then I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Okay, so here we go. A plentiful rich man. And he had a great plan. Call him the barn man. He had a great plan. Why wouldn't you fulfill that? You had more bounty than you could ever imagine. So why wouldn't you build a bigger barn? You need some place to keep that till it can be sold. That was a smart move. He may have started with very little. I was talking with a little friend that I've gotten acquainted with there, a little lady that's, I think, mid-70s. And she and I just see each other in passing. And she said, you know, we need to have lunch together. I said, that would be wonderful. So we did. And I was listening to her story, and it was really, really interesting. Her father had immigrated here and illegally. And then he started in World War II. He wanted to fight for the Americans, and he enlisted. And then as he became acquainted with that, there was someone that took him under his wing and was able to help him to get his citizenship, moved to New Mexico, and then had a family. She was one of those. And she's just sweet as she can be. She and her husband moved to Ottawa County, and they decided they wanted to move from New Mexico to have a farm. And she said, years ago, it'd be almost 45 years ago, she said, we subscribed to the Tulsa World. And she said, that's how we looked. And the classified ads was for a farm. And there was one in Ottawa County. And she said, we bought a 300-acre farm. And she said, and since that time, we've added to every piece that is connected to it. So we have over 1,000 acres. I thought that was so interesting. I thought that was so sweet. So I'm not downing the success of that. This is what this man did. I have more than I can possibly use right now, so I want to build a bigger barn. There was nothing wrong with that. But he said, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So he was success. He was a grand success in the world, as the world would call it. And it is admirable. Like I said, I thought that was just fantastic. But when you leave God out of it, you fail. You fail. You can't take that property with you. You can't take that barn with you. See how it can it clouded this man's thinking. It clouded his mind. It clouded his ability to think straight. Because he said, take thine ease. You have many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, you forgot the most important part. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And I'll tell you where they go. They go to your next of kin, whoever steps in as your next of kin. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I could tell you a lot of stories. Another one is, we did an estate, settling an estate. This was a little lady they said was very grumpy. Nobody liked her. She did not drive a car. She never bought a car. She walked wherever she needed to go. Lived in a dumpy little house. And it didn't even have air conditioning in it. She just lived very frugally. She was a tightwad, and she worked at the hospital, and she was janitorial work. She did it for years, and just never married, never had children, just never had any enjoyment in life. They said she was just very grumpy, and she left behind thousands. And I will tell you, those people are enjoying it now. But she did not get to enjoy those things. But she was rich in this world's good. She was considered what you would call a financial success. But she failed at the one thing that was the most important of all. And like I said, she didn't carry it with her. Because I can name you the people that got it and was pretty happy to take their checks home with them. And that's what but like I said, it's so mesmerizing. The get rich scheme is just so mesmerizing. The financial freedom and the stability, it's so mesmerizing. It's so interesting to listen to those programs that you can plan so that you don't ever have to fail. But when you don't apply the Lord in those areas, beware, because you're going to lack the very thing you need to make it to heaven. And that is God's great salvation. And like I said, this is a message for all of us, because we're all really a success. And I thank the Lord for that. I appreciate that. But I want us to also realize those goods come from the Lord's hand. And I'm thankful for it, because they can be taken away from you so very quickly. It's just water. It comes in, it can go out. It's not a dependable eternal source of security. It can't buy you heaven. Okay, so this one is the next one. Example is not a parable. It is a happening. So let's go on to Luke, the 16th chapter and the 19th verse. And it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So this was another rich man. But this is the purple one. And we're going to call him the purple rich man. And he has succeeded. He wore purple, which was a very hard color. Only the wealthy people. He was a grand success. He could provide crumbs to the poor man. And, you know, I'm thinking, crumbs from a rich man's table might not be too bad at all. The scraps, what would the scraps have been, you know? It probably was pretty nice. And these two ended up in eternal places, but it wasn't because the rich man was rich and Lazarus was poor. It's because there was an eternal decision made by Lazarus, or he wouldn't be in Abraham's bosom. There was an eternal decision made by the rich man, the purple rich man, that landed him in a place of torment. And I think sometimes even that clouds us a little bit. We think, well, then it's wrong to be rich. That's incorrect. They did not land in these eternal places because of rich or poor. It's because of the eternal decisions that they made. So the purple rich man was a fail. He was not rich toward God. And I look at that and think, Lord, help us to take a lesson from that. And like I said, nothing wrong with having wealth, but understanding where it comes from and understanding whose it really belongs to and understanding it's not yours at all. You're just to be the steward of it. If there's lots, praise the Lord. If there's not, praise the Lord. It's all within his control, and I thank the Lord for that. So I want us to go on and go back to Luke, the 12th chapter, and this 32nd verse. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, if you want to really succeed, if you fail to plan, just plan to fail. Make some eternal decisions that are right decisions. Because the Lord said, I'll give you the kingdom. I'll give you everything you need here and everything over there too. Sell what that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. An eternal treasure. What is an eternal treasure? What is that?
Lasts forever.
It lasts forever. And what is it? What is it? What is it? Do what?
Salvation.
Salvation. An eternal treasure. What is that treasure that we can put over in heaven? It's a soul. Our soul. Being the first and most important, because that's who we're responsible for. Nobody else can answer for me, and I can't answer for anybody else. But I also don't want to be the only one over in heaven. We want to use those resources to bring every soul that we can with us, whatever that promotion of that cause can be. The Lord said, I'll give you the kingdom. Lord, I want your kingdom. I want to do whatever I can to further your kingdom. I don't want there to be a lack because a soul needed this great salvation, and I was too busy with all these other things and realized too late that they needed that ticket to heaven too. Whatever you can do to promote the kingdom of heaven, that is where the wealth really is. I'm so glad for that, and I'm so glad to be his child, and I desire that you pray for me.